morning.
Wake up time!
Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
We are underway on this Father's Day. Sporting Kansas City in possession first. Set piece in the 41st minute. Hernandez driving it in toward goal, and it sneaks past Willis and in. Felipe Hernandez has put the visitors in front from long range. Shallowy putting it across. It bounces back to Daniel. Across again, this time headed up into the air by Godoy. Voltaire keeps it in for Sporting. Soucy with some time to pick his head up. Left foot is shot by Soucy. Soucy, absolute laser with the left foot. And it's 2-0 Sporting. Let's spell a possession for Sporting KC. They'd love to knock it around, but here is a bad giveaway by Cam Duke. It's taken by Sapar. Forward to Mukhtar. Here's Mukhtar. And a diving save by Mealy. And the rebound is blasted home by Ake Loba. Thing. First goal of the MLS campaign for Loba, and it's 2-1. To ground again, this time it's Wheel. And this time the referee will point to the penalty spot. Offside.
Offside from that, but he come back on. And that's over and out now. That's it.
There is the final whistle. Sporting Kansas City get their first away win on the season, and they end a 25-match home unbeaten streak for Nashville.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Monday, June 20th, 2022. Yeah. Nate Buchady, are you there?
I'm here, Stephen. Yeah. Good morning.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
How's it going?
Good.
How you feeling?
Good. Real good.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Late to you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, day late on that one. Right back at you, partner. Yes, I do. Let's just go ahead and let everyone know this show today made possible by Susan St. John. So, round of applause. She's driving back to the Northland, right? I don't know if she's listening. She's probably listening to Culture Club or something. Some 80s hits. Or maybe she's listening. Thank you, Sue. I'm sorry you had to drive me to work today. I apologize. I felt bad. But it's quality time with my honey. So that's pretty good.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know if she sees it that way, but I do. No, I've got a... I got this thing. I've had a series of things. You know, it's funny. When you get close to 50, your body says, how about this now? Well, why don't we try this? How about this funny feeling? I got like a inner ear infection or whatever that's been giving me some. You ever had like vertigo or whatever?
It sounds terrible.
It sucks.
To have vertigo.
Well,
it sounds miserable.
So it started like when we were going down to Wichita that day, and it was like, the rooms spin around, whatever else, and everything, and. And my ear was turning real bad, so I kind of figured what was going on, but we didn't have time to just, I had to do a charity event and then go right to Wichita. And so I've not followed up with my doctor the way I should and everything else, because I was thinking that, hey, it'll go away. because I Googled it, and you know, Google is the number one resource for medical advice.
Of course.
And it said usually these things will go away in 3 to 4 days, and it has not. So I got yelled at for that, but whatever. But yeah, I could not sleep at all last night. I'm thinking maybe, you know, because sometimes you do, you think you don't sleep, but then you do fall asleep and you just don't realize it. Mm-hmm. But I looked at the clock enough and got up enough times where I'm quite sure that I maxed out at about 45 minutes. Because I kept, and we have a very old cat named Dottie. Who was, how about this? She was alive when my mother was alive. And so my mom passed away in 2006. So Dottie has seen it all. We think Dottie's around 19 maybe, or 20, whatever. And so now, apparently Dottie was having the problems I was having last night. And so she wanted out of the bedroom. She started going, wow, wow. Not even a meow, like she's a human. Like, let me know. So I go, okay, I'll let you out. And then... 45 minutes later, she wants,
wow.
I'm like, oh my God, Dottie, why are you doing this? But she's an old gal, so I gotta, you know. And so I heard that a lot last night, apparently. She had a bad night too. And then I was, and so then I started going,
wow.
And then, you know, and then she let me out of the room, and then she let me back in. So. Right. Susan,
wow.
You gotta take me to work.
Wow.
So here I am. And you're not here because you're where?
I'm in Los Angeles right now. I'll be flying home tomorrow. Speaking of animals.
When do you fly? Wait. When you? I thought you were flying home today.
I'm sorry, this afternoon.
I'll say, boy, that was a change of plans all of a sudden.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the weather out here, I think I wouldn't mind staying another day.
Yeah. All of Kansas City giggles with you.
Hey, I'll be home in it soon enough. I'm going to see if I can play something for you, see if you can hear this, because speaking of animals making noises, there was a lady on my flight out here. I flew out at like 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. So I was...
That's a good time to fly.
Yeah, I got about 2 hours of sleep myself, so I was hoping to sleep on the plane, but there was a dog, like a little miniature dog that the lady sitting two rows in front of me had, and this was the entire flight.
That little dog's yipping. Okay, so...
The entire flight.
People can bring dogs on planes?
I guess so. She had a little duffel bag.
I'll be honest. I don't like to travel, and I don't travel very often. And so I'm already very apprehensive and anxiety-filled about my trip to Lake Tahoe in a couple of weeks. Just the travel part of it. When I'm in Lake Tahoe, it'll be wonderful, but the travel, I don't like to, I haven't flown, last time I've flown on a plane was when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl in Miami.
That's a pretty good time to fly.
Right, that was a great flight. Now, see, that was a great flight back. That was all filled with Chiefs fans. One of the best flights I've ever had. Because as we were flying, they were replaying the game on NFL Network. And so we were all watching it together again for the first time on TV after they had just won it. One of the best moments ever. And so, and then the plane would erupt into cheers. It was awesome. You know, that was great. Great flight. See, but I can't do that. I can't get on every flight and say, hey, let's watch the Chiefs win the Super Bowl together. Nobody wants to do that anymore. But that's the last time I've flown. And so I didn't, so you can just, you know, little dog, little toy dog in a purse. That works?
Yeah, I feel like maybe... Give your dog some anti-anxiety medicine or something before you put him on the plane. And I mean, it yipped the entire
three-hour
flight. I don't know. I couldn't really see it that well because it was in a duffel bag, but it was one of those little toy dogs, you know? Oh my God.
The little fella was just yipping.
Yep.
She should have given him some kibble or something. Or
I'm sure she was very, the poor pooch was probably very scared or something.
Did she care? I mean, did the lady care? Did you hear the lady say, like, come on, honey, come on. Nothing? No.
I couldn't hear anything like that. I don't know. Right. But she was a couple rows in front of us. So that dog was yipping it loud the entire way. So didn't sleep well on the flight down here.
Maybe that dog wanted to talk soccer with you. He should have went to the... Hey, little mister, did you know that the World Cup's coming to Kansas City? So, something.
Maybe. I don't speak yippee dog.
Yeah. Sporting one, though. At least your trip was not in vain. Nate called the game on FS1, and you called to win. And a lot of people don't realize this, but it's normal to do this. In order for you to call a game in Nashville, you go to Los Angeles.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. Explain that to people.
It's, in many ways, the wave of the future. In a lot of sports broadcasting, they have the Fox studios are out here in Culver City, which is, you know, in Los Angeles. And they've got studios built all over the building where people call games from remote anymore. And so rather than hire a crew to go do a broadcast in different locations, they do them from here a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times. And that's what they did. So yeah, I did not fly to Nashville. I flew to Los Angeles to call this game off a TV monitor.
Nashville's a pretty fun town too.
Yeah, you know, so's LA. But yeah, it would have been nice to go there. I mean,
I feel like at this point, Nashville, I don't know. LA's LA, man. You got a lot of pretentious people out there and everything else. Nashville.
That's why I fit in so well.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. You would, but I feel like out of my love of music.
Yeah.
And my love of, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of live music in LA, but I just feel like Nashville, that just sounds more attractive to me. As if you're gonna, but not to work, if you're going to go out and enjoy yourself, I'd like a night in Nashville. I think a night in LA could end horrifically for me, so.
Well, all I did was go get some sushi the night before the game, and that was lovely. So I wasn't really into any. I didn't really do any nightlife stuff, but I went to dinner both nights, and that was nice. It's nice around here just being outside in the weather because, you know, 72 degrees and
yeah. Mention that again.
Yeah, weather's pretty nice out here. But I would have liked to have gone to Nashville. They got a brand new stadium. It's really nice, and you know, obviously Nashville is a cool town. But
so they just say, yeah. I mean that would. It would seem they'd want the crew to be part of that atmosphere, and then they're forking over the money to fly out to LA. Why not just Nashville?
Well, because then they have to fork over the money for a TV truck and all sorts of other things as well. So
that's sports, brother.
Yeah, I mean it is, but it's also, I mean, post pandemic, this is the way that, I mean, so many more people are calling games this way now than I ever thought I'd see, and it's just kind of the way it goes. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just grateful for the opportunity, you know, so I'll go wherever they ask me to call a game like that. So that was fun for me.
Yeah, but people don't understand it. They want to, that's why I'm asking these questions, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to kiss ass to Fox, you do.
Well, it's not just Fox. I mean, like I said, everybody's doing this stuff now. And, you know, this new television rights, which we haven't really talked much about on the radio, but I do think it would be interesting to even people that are not sporting fans or soccer fans, because it's going to change the landscape of sports once again. But you know, Major League Soccer just signed a 9-year deal with Apple to carry all their games, and they're not going to do home and away broadcasts anymore. They're not going to do local broadcasts. They're going to do one broadcast for each game, and there's a very good chance that they build a big studio in some city like New Jersey or Atlanta, where all of the broadcasters go to broadcast the games from.
So how does that affect you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can play out. You know, I can try to become one of the 10 to 14 broadcasters that they have calling games.
So teams won't do their own broadcast?
No, they'll do radio, kind of like the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs don't do their own broadcast, but they do their own radio. So this, like, Sporting would still do their own radio. And one of the things they're going to do on Apple TV is you'll have the ability, when you watch the game, to select your radio broadcast for your commentary instead of the national broadcast if you want. So, like, if you have this Apple package and you turn on the Sporting game, you could choose to listen to the local radio broadcast. You could listen to the other team's radio broadcast.
And that'll be synced up?
That's what they say.
I'm skeptical when it. When I hear that, but
yeah, I mean, I've never seen the functionality work. I guess they do that for Major League Baseball, that game of the week they do on Apple TV right now, but I've never watched it, so I couldn't tell you how it works or how synced up it is.
I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, that'd be great, you know.
Yeah, if they can get it to work, I think it'd be fantastic, you know. A lot of people probably love to do that with the Chiefs, you know, watch Chiefs game, but listen to the local radio broadcast at the same time.
So when will that start for MLS?
Next season.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So there's a lot up in the air, but they haven't decided how they're going to do everything yet. You know, they're studying whether or not they want the, because there's also ways where you can, you know, you can produce the entire game remotely, but have the broadcasters, like the play-by-play and color commentator, go to the game. There's different ways you can do it, and I think they're trying to decide how they're going to do it all, but MLS is going to produce all of the content. They're just basically going to give the content to Apple, and then Apple will distribute it. And this is going to be something I think you're going to see in more and more leagues going forward, and much more going to be going straight to streaming and just like forgetting about old terrestrial television altogether. Because the thing that they can say now with Apple TV is there are zero blackouts across the world. You know, like that's one of the things Major League Baseball deals with, right, is all their blackout rules for the local TV markets. And since there's not really any local TV markets anymore, if you have this MLS package, you can watch any MLS game you want anywhere in the world, anytime. Like there's no blackouts whatsoever. And that's been something that's been really tricky to navigate for all these leagues and teams. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in all these other leagues. I think this could be kind of a trendsetter, you know, this deal with Major League Soccer.
Lots of information for you to digest. too much for me this early in the morning,
yeah.
But it sounds like Nate's on the ball with this. But the important thing is Sporting.
Well, here's the thing, Stephen. Right? Honestly, the truth. This is the truth. It's like you can be on the ball with it or not. It is what it is. Like this is the way the industry is going in many ways, and you can be mad about it, or you can just try to get in where you fit in, which is what I guess what I'm trying to do right now. You know, because I don't make these decisions. I mean, and it's a quickly evolving. I mean, all these different networks are building these big studios for broadcasters to call games from. It's just kind of what they're doing, whether we like it or not.
Maybe I like it.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So, over the weekend, Lorenzo Cain was DFA'd by the Milwaukee Brewers, and it was a classy move by Milwaukee because Lorenzo Cain is not having a good year, and it was clear that they were going in a different direction, but they kept him on the team long enough to get his 10 years of service time before they DFA'd him. And the reason that's important is Lorenzo Cain, once you have 10 years of service time, you become fully vested members of the union and earn a full pension from MLB. And so it's, a lot comes with getting the 10 years in. And the Brewers allow that to happen. And so as a nice way for them to end their time with Lorenzo Cain. And I just tweeted out, you know, I saw it, emotional, tweeted out, you know, bring him home so he could retire a Royal. And I got a lot of retweets and, you know, but it's always so interesting how I feel like some people, they're just like, they wake up and say, I'm going to go on Twitter and just be a giant a-hole. Just no matter what anyone says, I'm just going to be negative and I'm going to show everyone, hey, I want to be negative and I just want to be a butthole to everyone. So a couple people, that's the last thing we need. No thanks. I'm like, I'm not saying to bring him back and put him in center field. You know how they do it? Sign him for a day and let him retire a Royal. I don't care. Sign him for a day and let him go out there and play center field one more day. Something like that. I was being nostalgic. You block a guy at AAA. Close.
That what they sounded like?
Twitter, yeah. Yes. It's like, you know, sometimes if you're thinking, should I tweet this? The answer is no.
Just, yeah, but I'm looking at you, Steven. Just, you know, you got 1,218 likes on that post and
yeah.
27 comments. So. Yeah,
it's just like, you know, it's like, it was just a comment. And I know it probably ain't going to happen, whatever, but it's just a comment on, hey, this guy gave us some wonderful memories, and I'm sure that someone will come on the show or someone will come on the air today and tell us why it's not, the Royals shouldn't bring him back. Wasn't meaning it literally, but if they did, I'd be great with it, you know. But it's just say, how about this? Allow people to be happy and to be nostalgic without bringing your negativity to the world. How about that? I love Lorenzo Cain. You love Lorenzo Cain. For all of us that love Lorenzo Cain, that don't spend our days with our heads buried up the ass of analytics and numbers and just, you know, and actually care about emotion and human beings and having fun and joy, let us experience something like that. How about that? Sorry. Rant. Done.
Dude, I'm with you. To me, that's sports. Sports are about what it means to people.
Lorenzo Cain represents so many things besides what his stats were. He represents a time in my life, a time in our lives, a time in Kansas City that we will all hold so dear. And I think about the moments, and I'll just focus on 14 and 15, but the moments that we all spent together, whether it was at P&L or at the games or at watch parties or if you were at home with your family or if you were watching the game with someone you love or your friend or whatever, you think about all those moments that he was a part of and those teams were a part of. That's, yes, it's hey, something romantic about baseball, right? It means something. And he means something to so many people, very similar to the way, you know, how I'm so defensive over George Brett. Now I will not hear anything bad about George Brett. You got something to say bad about him? Go tell somebody else. I don't want to hear it. Right? That's my guy. That's my childhood hero. That's who, you know, and it's he's on a pedestal, and I'm very short and I can't reach that pedestal, but I look up at it. But it's just, that's, you know, Lorenzo Cain. I think about, and also I think about all the fun we would have listening to him and Salvi go back and forth and just bringing joy to people's lives, bringing joy to baseball fans and Royals fans, something we don't really have right now. Give us joy, Royals. Why won't you? And so, I love it. And I was like thinking back to just a lot of different stuff. It's nostalgic. And I don't know if he's going to play for another team. I don't know if someone's going to claim him. I don't know if he wants to play anymore. But here's a clip of Lorenzo Cain. He was being interviewed by some reporters after he was DFA'd by the Brewers, and here's about a minute and a half of Lorenzo Cain talking about his career.
Are you able to reflect a little on just kind of how improbable this whole journey has been, thinking back to your high school days, and if it is the end or whether you continue on, the resume that you've put together as a baseball player?
Yeah, I mean, the kid that, you know, from Madison County that showed up and, you know, didn't have a glove or a bat, cleats, any of that. You know, I kind of had to borrow everything from the very beginning. And to say that I've, you know, played 10 plus years in the show, you know, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything more. So it's been a great ride for me, fun ride. I put a lot of work in, just put this body through a lot over the years. So at the same time, I think the body's definitely ready to rest a little bit for sure.
Well, I don't know if I ever got to ask you this. What was your first day at baseball practice like? Do you remember?
Oh, man. Yeah, I ended up, I had a collared shirt on, some jean shorts, and and I think some basketball shoes back then. That was my very first practice I showed up to. Like I said, I didn't have any cleats, glove, or anything. I borrowed everything from the very beginning. And I've had great people in my life to kind of push me, who's helped me out a lot from my high school days all the way up to now. So I've definitely been very fortunate, been blessed to play as long as I did. And like I said, if it's the end, you know, can't really be upset about anything.
I'm trying to get Selena to show up to her next softball practice in a collared shirt, jean shorts, and basketball shoes to honor Lorenzo Cain. She so far is unwilling, but I think I can convince her. So I'm hoping we can get that done. Be a tremendous tribute to Lorenzo Cain, don't you think?
I couldn't think of one any better.
Right. I think one day that we should all show up to work and wear a collared shirt, jean shorts, and basketball shoes and call it Lorenzo Cain Day. How's that?
I'm game.
I'll do it. You have jean shorts?
No, I don't have any right now. I need to get some.
You have to go buy some then. It's worth it.
Yeah.
For Lo Cain, it is. For everything he did for this town, I'll do it.
I feel like he could pull off jean shorts better than I can, but...
How do you know unless you put them on?
He probably could pull off a lot of things.
Why don't you let us judge?
Okay.
Take a look at you in some jorts. So.
Yeah.
All right. So that, and we're not done with this segment because I'm sure you want to say some things about Lo Cain, but yeah. We'll take a break. I want to play my favorite highlight from Lo Cain when we come back, and we'll get Nate's thoughts and Marco if he has anything to say about Lorenzo Cain. Maybe not. I can't judge Marco. I can't predict what he's going to say. Maybe he says, I don't care. Maybe he loves him. We'll find out after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. So I'll play my favorite Lorenzo Cain highlight from when he was with the Royals, and then we'll get Nate's thoughts. And we don't have to hold this in one segment. And this is, honestly, it's more fun than talking about the current Royals. But anyway, Lorenzo Cain deserves our time. Okay, after his career, it looks like his career is come to an end. I'm pretty sure people know where I'm going to go with this. 2015 ALCS, Game 6. I'm there with my buddy Sam, and we're lucky enough to be sitting up in the Budweiser deck, right? And we had gotten there early enough. We had seats right there, you know, at the table, you know, at the bar, it's beautiful, you know. And I was convinced that whoever wins the ALCS is going to win the World Series. This was the World Series. And you remember how all we were after the Blue Jays made all these moves and all, and now no one can beat the Blue Jays. And it was just, you know, and my hatred for Josh Donaldson, all these things wrapped into one, right? Jose Bautista, who liked him? Nobody, okay? A very easy team to root against, Roberto Osuna, all of it. And so I'll read this story from CBSSports.com talking about the crazy ending to Game 6, and I'll play this clip. And so bottom of the eighth inning, set the scene. The score was tied 3-3. Thanks to a Jose Bautista home run. And a 45-minute rain delay just ended. The umpire crew called for the tarp quickly, so it didn't take the grounds crew long to get the field ready. Now we recap how the Royals took the lead. Following the rain delay, Blue Jays manager John Gibbons went right to closer Roberto Osuna with the score tied at 3 in the eighth inning. He didn't wait for the ninth inning or a save situation that may or may not come. Gibbons went to his best arm against the middle of the Royals lineup in a win-or-go-home game. It seems like an obvious move, but boy, too many managers these days save their closer for the ninth inning because it's their inning, right? So, Osuna started the eighth inning by walking Lorenzo Cain on 7 pitches. It was a phenomenal at-bat by Cain, who fouled off some tough fastballs and took some nasty sliders off the plate. That's a quality slider, and Cain spit on it. And they show a little video there. Walks are boring, and individual takes are even more boring, but gosh, it was a beautiful pitch by Osuna and a fantastic take by Cain. Most hitters hack at that slider and hope to foul it off once they realize it's a slider and not a fastball. The leadoff walk got the inning started. Then Eric Hosmer comes to the plate. Osuna leaves a 2-2 slider a little too high. Hosmer hooks it to right. Kane was going first to third easy. Bautista picked up the ball, spun around, and threw wildly to the infield. The throw went into second base, which is a good play most of the time, but not this time and not against those Royals. Royals third base coach Mike Gerschle recognized Bautista's throw was not going to the cutoff man, so he waved Kane home. Kane never broke stride and managed to score well ahead of the relay throw to the plate. He scored from first on a single. And let me tell you something. He slides in and then jumps up in the air. I cannot jump as high as Lorenzo Cain, but by God, I tried at that moment. That may be as high as I've jumped in my life. And I will just never forget, it was even after that rain delay, for people that were at that game, I'm sure you remember it too, the intensity in that game was, it might be unmatched by any baseball game I've ever been to. It was like just a ferocity there. It was just, it's overflowing, and the 45-minute rain delay, and it felt like the Royals were going to blow the game because Ryan Madsen and the home run to Bautista, and then Wade Davis, oh, he's not going to come back after the 45-minute rain delay. Oh, what are we going to do? And it was just that the 45 minutes took forever, it seemed like. And it was just, it just turned up the intensity 10 notches. And I just, man, when that happened, that feeling when Kane slid in safely to home and Eric Hosmer, and that's why I love the Hos. You talk bad about the Hos, fine. Flags fly forever. He's pumping at fist at first base. I'm jumping up and down. I smacked my friend Sam. I'd like to smack him again right now for other reasons. I'd do it. I'll see him tomorrow. It's like that. Play that highlight, please.
That's into right field. This ball.
Listen to that crowd. Listening to that effing crowd. I will never not love that. I will never not get goosebumps when I see that or hear that. Sometimes I get tears in my eyes thinking about that. The elation. And the game was not won yet, you know. But it was just that moment. And there were so many great moments in 14 and 15. We'd have a great time coming up with a top 10 list. The man that's up there. And I don't know if that's, I mean, you know. How could you beat the last out of winning a World Series? But damn, I guess maybe it's just like when he scored, I just felt in my mind that the Royals were going to win the World Series, you know. And it was, that just made me happy just listening to that, you know. Oh,
what a great
man.
Memory.
I love Lorenzo Cain. Go ahead, Nate.
I was just thinking about him winning the ALCS MVP the year before. And, that game was clinched. At that time, I was working for MLB Network, so I got to be in the clubhouse after every game in the 2014 campaign. In the 2015 campaign for that game, I'm with you. I was in the stands, which was an incredible night. But, you know, to make it all about myself, of course, I got to interview him on the field at Kauffman Stadium the day that he won the ALCS MVP. And that was a thrill for me just professionally, because it was Lorenzo Cain to me was a very easy player to root for, you know?
Oh yeah.
He just played the game with a smile on his face. He had to overcome a lot of sorts of adversity. Remember, he dealt with all those hamstring injuries at the beginning of his time in Kansas City, and you could see this amazing potential that he had, but it felt like he wasn't ever going to be able to stay on the field long enough to actualize it. And he figured out how to stay healthy. He figured out, he changed some of his workout routines and, you know, found different types of therapies to keep his legs fresh. And committed himself to it, and it worked out. And then he became, to me, he was the best all-around player on those two World Series teams. The thing that was so fun, like I was about to say earlier, he might have been my favorite player on those teams. But then it's like the thing about those teams that made them so fun was that they really were the total team. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's one Hall of Famer on there in Salvi, but outside of that, it was just a whole bunch of good baseball players.
But you could say, the other great thing about that team is, you could have someone say, "No, my favorite player on that team was Haas.
Right.
My favorite player was Salvi.
Yeah, a whole list of guys.
My favorite player was Moose. My favorite
Gordon.
Player was Lo-Kane.
Yeah.
And everyone, you're like, yep, yeah, yep, yes, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, yes.
Wade Davis.
Sure, yes. Okay.
You know, just, I mean, there's so, yeah, you could just take your pick.
Yeah, I mean, I loved Jordano Ventura.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's,
But there was something about the back and forth between Salvi and Kane that I think everybody in town could get behind.
Oh, hell yes, man. It was them being real and them just it was as easy as
fun.
Them genuinely having a love for each other, having a love for their sport, and having a love for Kansas City. And you know, like, I get a lot of that. It's different because they have different personalities, but I get a lot of that from Mahomes and Kelsey.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They love what they're doing. They love each other. They love Kansas City. They love this team. Who's having more fun than Mahomes and Kelsey? I don't know.
Right.
And, like, who's having more fun than Kane and Salvi? I don't know.
Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome. Bad. You know, it just represents so many things. I love it. So, if that's it for Lo-Kane, that's a hell of a career. If that's it for Lo-Kane, I'll see you in the Royals Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Sign a one-day contract. And I don't care if it makes people mad or whatever. Sign them a one-day contract. Trot them out there for center field one more day. I don't care. Wouldn't you love to see that? Him and Salvi out there just one more day?
Oh, yeah.
Ain't gonna happen, but that's, you know, that's the kind of stuff I love.
I mean, what's the problem if they sign him? They start losing some games or something?
Right. You can block a young center fielder that's knocking at the door.
Who is there one of those?
No. It's I don't, whatever. I'll let other people rain on everyone's parade. My point is.
They had a parade, the Royals did,
right.
Because of him.
It's just a day to appreciate Lo-Kane. That's all. It's a day to remember. It seems like forever, but it wasn't that long, but it's getting there, that when the Royals were good, and they're not now. We can only hope they get back to that point. Doesn't feel great, but...
They won a series over the weekend.
There we are. There you go. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. What a surprise. Todd Lebo showed up in studio. Only one disappointment is there was something I wanted you to see on TV. But you can see it here. I was going to pay tribute to you.
Oh.
For out of my very own pocket, I was going to pay you tribute.
Tribute.
Because it was your anniversary. Did you know that?
I did know that, yes.
You and Denise celebrating an anniversary. Marco, pay tribute.
Happy anniversary. I didn't know that.
Last Friday.
I pay tribute to you with this picture.
Oh, boy. This is not
what picture need. Is that?
That's our engagement picture that was in the newspapers. It was on all the press.
Give me ages. Give me time.
I guess
give me
we're
place.
Probably 24. We got married when we were 25. That picture was probably taken when we were 24.
That's a beautiful young couple right there with the world in front of them.
How's that hair look for me?
It looks good. Did you, at this point, did you think?
I had given up then already.
Okay.
I just was hanging on through the wedding.
Nate, do you want me to send you this picture that's on TV right now?
Yes, please.
You just took it off Facebook somewhere, right? I mean, it's been out there.
Your lovely wife posted it.
Yes.
And I commented, and her guy said, thank you very much for this. And she liked that comment.
That's a beautiful picture.
What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that was, I got married when I was 25, so that was 1995. And by February of 96, I had buzzed my hair off.
Where'd you get that picture at?
That I think we probably went to a Sears or something. That was a professional photograph.
Right.
To give to the press. You had to give to the press.
Glamour shots?
No, it wasn't a glamour shot, but we went to, back in the day, do they still do this? You put an engagement picture in the paper? Or a wedding picture?
I know you can do that in the Northeast News, if you'd like to.
And it would say...
I had a graduation picture in the Northeast News.
They would say, he did it.
Right.
And then when the wedding announcements become like 2 months after you got married, it'd be in the Star. And you had to pay for it, I think. And it would, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Gary Lebo. I think the mother's family would announce.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. James Van Warmer, proud to announce the marriage of their daughter, Denise Ann Van Warmer, to the... Todd William Lebo of Independence.
Do they do that still?
I don't know.
I don't look at the newspaper.
We
the
have a clipping of that. So then, you
That's
know,
beautiful.
Then it would say the ceremony was at the Blue Ridge Christian Church reception following at whatever, Hillcrest Country Club, and the couple. And I think it would even say, like, where you worked. It would say, like, Denise was a teacher, and it said, I worked at Fox 4 or something. It was a big public affair. People wanted to know.
Right. That's good.
27 years. You know how many of them were good?
All of them.
Every single one of them. All of them good.
Friday wasn't good when I tried to get you to come to Brick's and Lee's Summit to buy you drinks.
But Denise felt really bad because the next morning she saw the videos that you put up and she says, we should have gone to that. I said, but you were asleep at 8:15.
Right. There was a very excited lady that came up to me and said, are you St. John's? I am. She was my boyfriend. Heard you talk about us on the radio and said, we need to come here after dinner. And she goes, where's Lebo? I said, Lebo is not here. I'm trying to get him here. She goes, I taught both his kids in third grade or fourth grade. And then I sent you a picture.
Yeah, I did it in my glass, so when I looked at it, was it Mrs. Hall?
I don't know. I didn't get any names.
Could have been.
But she was there.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we should have come down there.
You wouldn't have bought a drink all night long.
Denise she should have napped earlier.
Right.
And then, because we had gone for
a good place.
Celebratory meal at Summit Grill.
Right.
And because my daughter's birthday was last week and her boyfriend Nick's birthday was last week. It was a big celebration.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Did you research that song yet?
Nope.
You need to do that.
I will. Okay. We'll be back after this on WHB.